Hey guys, just a quick announcement before we start episode 588. I want to tell you guys that all of our shows are now live. So if you guys want to join the live show, watch the show as it happens in real time. It's a lot of fun. And the after show is a lot of fun too, hanging out with you guys in the chat room. Just go to extremehealthradio.com. You'll see the links there. And we broadcast 10:45 a.m. Pacific time on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this show is brought to you by our store. We've been adding some really cool products to the store. I'm not sure if you've checked it out recently, but a recent one, it was the 3900 Gauss 1-inch foot magnets for doing Qigong. This is an incredible product. We've also added the Blue Shield EMF protection devices, as well as the True Dark blue blocking glasses, the perfect box for dirty electricity in your home, the Omica Organics 12-stage reverse osmosis water system, as well as the Vi-Lite photobiomodulation red light therapy, along with the green wave filters for dirty electricity in your walls, and the molecular hydrogen, the Stockton Aloe 1, the Juve therapy, red light therapy. A lot of cool products coming into our store recently. And one thing I want to let you guys know is that if you purchase through our store, we will give you a 30-day free access trial to the Extreme Health Academy. Extreme Health Academy is a place where we are going deep, deep, deep with Dr. John Bergman, creating courses every single month. There's over 1,000 people inside the academy right now, and they are answering your health questions. The forums in there are going crazy. It's really a great place to go to get resources and information, as well as inspiration to help take your health to new levels or to get the support that you need to overcome your health challenges. So if you purchase any of the products from our store, let me know, send me an email, and I'll give you a coupon code for 30-day free access to the Extreme Health Academy. So if you want to get access to all of this, just go to extremehealthradio.com/588. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on episode 591 of Extreme Health Radio. Thanks for joining us. This is sort of a special episode that we have. Clint and I have been going back and forth for, gosh, what seems like a month or so, trying to get coordinated on this particular interview because it's at a different time. He is in Sydney, Australia, and we are in Southern California. Through the magic of the internet, you could be listening anywhere in the world. So it's really cool to be here with you guys and really cool to share some of his information. He's got a really tremendous story of healing and overcoming rheumatoid arthritis naturally, and he's developed a whole program, and we'll bring him on in just a second. So if you guys know anybody that has, I should say, whose body has rheumatoid arthritis, you may want to share this show with them because what Clint's doing is really, really cool. And I know people in my life that have, whose body has this particular ailment, and I'm just thinking of her, and she has tried everything. And so this is going to be a good show. We're really excited to have him on, and that's kind of what we do, is we bring on people who have tremendous stories of healing, or doctors, naturopathic doctors, people who help other people overcome diseases naturally. And that's what we're all about. So we've got some cool shows coming up. You guys might want to check it out. Let's see. Coming up, we got Dr. Veronique, I should say her name, Desanu. She's got a French name, but she's really cool because she works with women whose bodies have breast cancers, and she has a story of overcoming breast cancer naturally herself, and that's going to be a show coming up very, very soon to the podcast, as well as Dr. John Bergman. That's going to be a really great webinar that we did with him, and then we did a really cool show with Karen Urbanek and about cellular biology, I could say that, and she says that your cells are alive, and she's got, when she was on, it was just incredible, incredible show. So if you're interested in natural healing and anything like that, this is the show for you. And we have Clint Pattison on right now. Let me turn his microphone up, and through the power of the internet, This is just crazy. Isn't this crazy, Clint, that we could be doing a show like this and you're in Sydney, I'm in Australia, or I'm in California, people listening all over the world? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. In fact, before I got into helping people with their health and working on my own recovery from rheumatoid arthritis, I used to work in the high-tech fiber optic industry. So coming out of university where I studied laser physics, my first job was manufacturing filters that were being sold to undersea fiber networks to build the actual physical optical fiber cables that are now connecting us. So yeah, so in a way, like, this is cool, but it's something that I used to think about a lot more than what I do these days.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably a lot more rewarding to do the work you're doing now, right?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I didn't get emails from clients saying, "Hey, you know, the internet, your filter for the undersea network has changed my life." You know,
oh,
that
man.
Really happened.
Now, how long ago were you doing that?
I was working in that for 5 years, right up until the tech collapse of 2000, 2001. So I was, straight out of university, and I'd done really well at university and went into this startup company. And the thing was a major success. I mean, we all had all these stock options, and we were just living the dream in our early 20s, myself and all my other graduates who finished the same year. So we're just this influx of students into this startup company. And then after 5 years of that, it just absolutely fell off a cliff. And wow. In terms of like the stock market collapse, the NASDAQ, our share price went from $135 to $2 in about 4 months, I want to say. And although 4 months sounds like a lot of time, man, not when you're holding the shares and you think they're going to bounce back. You just watch them. We just watched them go to $2.
Oh, man, what a bummer.
So I was in that business for 5 years and learned a lot and actually really loved it. And when that collapse happened, I thought I was going to start my own business in the fiber optic world. So that was my first job, is working in fiber optics and thinking that was going to be the rest of my life.
Wow, isn't that amazing? And so when that all collapsed, that was around 2001, you said, for you?
Yeah, that would have been, 2001, about that, yeah.
And then how long after that, so that collapsed, and then you were thinking about pursuing a career with your own business in fiber optics, how long time passed between that and then the diagnosis of your initial symptoms?
Just 5 years. 2006 was when I got the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. And in that period of time, I started doing stand-up comedy. So I actually went from out of the fiber optic business. And as it was starting to look a little bit hairy, you know, as we started to get signs that maybe our customers were not wanting as much of our product, the forecast on amount of orders that would be needed was becoming less and less clear. You know, there were some signs. So I was messing around doing stand-up for the last 2 years of that. So I remember this easier rather than calendar years based on how old I was. So I was 25 as I started doing stand-up. And then by 27, lost the job and was doing stand-up for a couple of years full-time. Making an okay living out of it, but at that time mostly comedy clubs and stuff. And then I moved into corporate events where I was charging a lot of money just for a half an hour spot for big brand name companies and stuff. And that's what I've been doing ever since, and still to this day still perform for companies doing hosting their awards nights and launches and stuff like that.
Wow.
And but it was when I turned 31 that I got the RA. So that's when it all began, and sort of that's where the everything changed for me in terms of my health, because prior to that I just had a sense of being bulletproof. I've always been a thin frame. I've always been able to eat endless amounts of food without gaining any really body fat or having any side effects of eating ridiculous amounts of food and bad food sometimes. So yeah, I felt kind of invincible, but clearly that wasn't the case. In my particular case, I had taken antibiotics for acne as a teenager and had gotten into the habit of getting that prescription filled over and over again, and went 5 years taking antibiotics as a teenager from the age of about 16 to 21.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I probably should have stopped after maybe, I don't know, as soon as possible, basically. But I it would have been nice to stop at the most at a year or two. But I kept going thinking, look, it does a good job. I'll just I don't see any side effect. But wow. What happened is in hindsight, it was those 5 years of antibiotics that that messed up all my internal bacteria, killed all the good guys as well as the bad, and as a result left me really exposed to developing a future condition. And I had digestive issues throughout my 20s.
Wow.
But I didn't think that was a big deal. All my mates had digestive issues.
Yeah.
Everyone was burping and farting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it was when I started to get the joint pains that I got the real wake-up call. But as I've learned from the published studies on rheumatoid arthritis, quite often the disease can start to begin in terms of its platform within your intestinal tract many years before you actually get symptoms. And
wow.
So, you know, you can be showing elevated serum levels of certain rheumatoid indicating markers in your blood also years before you actually get the disease. And so, yeah, you know, if I had known what I knew now, then I could have even avoided getting the disease.
Wow.
I'm convinced, even yeah. after taking the antibiotics. But anyway, I didn't, and that's what's happened. And so now it's my has become my cross to bear, but also in many ways, I think also a blessing, because I've learned so much and been truly able to help so many people that you know, everything's a balance in life, right? So I've got great balance where I've been through tremendous agonizing pain.
Oh,
but
man.
At the same time, I really genuinely receive the most incredible feedback from clients and work with people every day who are so grateful for the fact that I went through agony because I was able to learn so much and able to I share just so much through my own podcast. And through my mailings and my, you know, social media. So just like yourself out there helping people and trying to make people feel better and more healthy. And my kind of whole approach is if you have maximum health, then you'll have minimum disease symptoms. And that's what I'm all about.
So at this point with your symptoms and things, would you be technically considered to be rheumatoid arthritis free? It's completely gone, or it's still in your body, but the symptoms are so low and manageable that you don't really feel too much.
It's the latter, and
okay.
It's well put. And so what we're aiming to achieve is it's not a cure, it's not remission. Both of these words I actually talk about in the book that I'm going to be finishing soon. So we can't have a cure, and we shouldn't use the word cure, because the cure would indicate complete permanency and the inability to ever see symptoms again. That would be a cure, at least in my definition. And I don't think that's the case, because if I was to go out and eat cheese pizzas and live off Kentucky Fried Chicken and stuff for the next few weeks, I believe that I could bring symptoms back into my body. And we also... I don't like using the word remission either. I find the word remission feels like you're relegating a sense of control, because remission sounds like a very clinical term. And if you've achieved remission, you might feel good in that you've achieved something that your doctor's happy with, but it's possible to have remission and be on five different types of drugs. And that really doesn't suit my ultimate goal either. If you really want to get well, then you would hope to be able to do it and have as fewer drugs as possible. Maybe not in everyone's case zero drugs, but certainly less than where you are when you begin to make these positive changes. And so I like using the phrase complete confidence and control over the condition. And what this means is that you're your own puppeteer. You hold the strings of how your body responds. And if you go and follow the guidelines and pull the strings the way that you know you should, then the puppet, which is the result of your actions, behaves exactly the way that you expect it to. And so that means ultimately having discipline. And it means discipline with your diet. It means having discipline regarding your exercise. It means having discipline if there's a few areas where you might need a couple of supplements. And although I'm not a supplement-heavy kind of advocate, there are some clear deficiencies that some folks with rheumatoid arthritis have shown to have based on scientific studies. So if you're low in potassium, maybe you look at bumping your potassium a little bit. But on top of that, we also have to manage our stress. So, you know, disease in general, I think, not just rheumatoid arthritis and other inflammatory arthritic conditions, you know, ultimately all driven by some degree of stress, whether it be dietary stress or emotional stress or work stress or even the stress that we get in our bodies that become tight through inactivity. So inactivity is a form of stress on our body that doesn't get loosened up, that puts stress on the lymphatic system, yeah, cardiovascular system. And so everything comes down to, in my books, being able to manage these aspects. And finally, I help people manage their medication approach, because some of the medications themselves actually cause more of the underlying condition. So you're literally taking a drug to suppress your symptoms that then worsens the underlying cause. And this is happening every day around the world with probably 50% of people with this condition.
Wow. What are some of the most common drugs that people take for RA?
Would you believe one that is often prescribed is antibiotics? So people take antibiotics quite often to suppress their symptoms. Now, this is unbelievable, right? Because they experience this sense of pain relief from having the antibiotics. And whilst even today, you know, some rheumatologists will say, like, I don't know why that happens. Well, I can explain why that happens. And, you know, it can be a 10-minute explanation, but yes, it can happen. And so that is one of the drugs. Now, another one of the drugs that is my nemesis, and I think this drug is often described by the rheumatology world as the best drug they have, but it's also the worst. And I've seen this quoted a few times, and that is prednisone. So that's the steroid, prednisone. Now, this drug is given as a bridging drug in between more long-term medications, things like disease-modifying drugs. So there's, let me tell you, the world of drugs with inflammatory arthritis is unbelievable. Just to back up a bit, the highest grossing drug on the planet is Humira. Okay, now Humira is advertised in the US. You would have seen it on TV. So it's not legal to advertise medications to the public in any other country except the US and New Zealand, right?
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know why New Zealand still allow it, but apparently they do. Okay. As a visitor to the US, I'm always absolutely shocked at how these kind of medications can be advertised to the public as if it's
crazy.
Something that can build a desire in them to get on these drugs. Like, we should be building a desire to be as healthy as possible so as not to need medications, in my view.
Right? I know. It's so crazy. I think it was in the late 90s that they passed that law where now they can start advertising pharmaceuticals. But man, you never saw a pharmaceutical drug commercials before that. It's crazy.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I didn't know that it's only, I guess it's still, that's been around a long time.
For 20 years.
Like 90s. But man, I mean, I can't see any benefit in that. How can it be good to create a desire amongst the public for something that, why should they start to believe that that's the drug for them based on an advertising campaign of people dancing around in their 60s and hugging, wearing white and beige pants and thongs on the beach? And of course, flip-flops, I should say to most of your audience, on the beach. And thinking that, oh, I got to get on that when, you know, they don't know really what even causes their disease or how they can influence them themselves. So look, the reason to that, of course, is there's so much money behind it. Humira is the highest grossing drug on the planet. And in 1 year, it did 8 times the amount of income that Avatar has made on the box office since its release. Avatar being the highest grossing film of all time. And so it did like $15 billion in sales in 1 year, Humira. So, wow. I mean, there's so much money in this. This autoimmune conditions are the cash cow of the pharmaceutical world. I mean, there's so much money in autoimmune diseases that it's frightening. It really is unbelievable.
Yeah, I was just looking up as you were talking the connections between Humira and cancer, and I think it has some effect on pregnancy as well, right? And
you're only just scratching the surface there, Justin. Yeah. I mean, they print on the actual formal side effects includes death.
Oh my gosh! So is Humira the number one drug for arthritis? Is that really the number one drug that they give?
It's certainly one of the most popular, and let's face it, it can get some life-changing results for people. Otherwise, I mean, that's the positive side that we also don't want to ignore. It changes the immune system, and so if your immune system is designed to eliminate things in the blood that aren't meant to be there and keep you healthy, if you have an extremely sophisticated drug that stops your immune system from functioning the right way, then you can not react to the particles that are entering your bloodstream from your own problematic digestive system.
Wow.
Now, you might be able to find the, as you're bringing up on the screen there, you might be able to find the comment that I made before, which should show up about the potential side effect of death. And I think it will come up
My
there.
My goodness, I know. I'm just scrolling through these. It's just nuts.
It's not the only one either. It's just a few of these biologic drugs have to include those. So now that's going to improve your condition. If you have told part of your body not to work properly, then you will get a better result if it's that part that's broken. Mm-hmm. The challenge, of course, and this is where it all becomes very unappealing, is that if your body then doesn't have a proper working immune system, you are then susceptible to catching every cold and to getting every, problem with your health that you would normally defend against quite successfully. So, and the main reason that I hear anecdotally from people on these medications, coming off these medications, is because they develop something like pneumonia, or they get another condition that is extremely dangerous for their health, and they have to come off these strong drugs, because if you don't, then you cannot beat the infection that you're up against, and you have to temporarily come off them so that you can have a chance of recovering, and then the people go back on them again, hopefully without another episode of a pneumonia or whatever it is that they're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed on your podcast, you're doing a lot of work with people, helping them to overcome and get off of these drugs. It must be kind of a strange world for you, because for us, we just sort of promote no drugs at all for everything. We're kind of 100% natural, but you're helping people that either want to go 100% natural, or a lot of times people start taking the drugs and then they want to work with someone to get off the drugs. So you're in this kind of like hybrid world where you have to understand the drug side of it too, right?
Yes, and it becomes a bit delicate for me, because I never want to be ever in a position where I'm telling people what drugs to take and what not to take. All I do is I collect the scientific evidence that shows that this drug has been shown to negatively impact a certain part of the digestive system that we're trying to improve. And therefore, that drug is probably not one that, in my personal opinion, I would personally take. And that's the way that I always provide guidance, or at least opinion, I should say, about these things. If I put everything under the umbrella of, well, this is what I would do, then it's hard to sort of point the finger at me if people go and make decisions surrounding that. Because all I can honestly say is, well, if I was in that position, I would do this, and because this is what the science says, and so I'd probably follow the science on that. So, look, that's how I go about that. And then I point people in the direction of of scientific evidence themselves and let them go and read the journal paper. And often reading a journal paper simply involves finding the one specific line that you want to extract from a summary or an introduction or something. So, you know, that's the fine line that I take with the medications. I think that it's so important that I'd prefer to walk that delicate balance than to not comment on it at all.
Right.
And so I'm happy to not, I don't believe I'm taking any risk when I talk about the medications as long as I've got the data to back it up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's logical. If that data is published and that data is out there and that data is printed in that tiny little fine print that you can't see, if it's there, then, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking publicly about information they've already published publicly on their side. So I see what you're saying. So in terms of like your own story, share a little bit about, because man, I think I stumbled across your TED Talk video, which is probably how many people find you, but I stumbled across that a couple years ago. And when I watched your story, and when you documented everything. So you showed pictures of your knee, and you showed, I mean, it was just incredible what was happening to you, and so fast. And so tell people a little bit about that and how bad it got for you.
Yeah. Oh, how bad it got was just shocking. And if some of your audience have rheumatoid arthritis, then this is going to, be close to their heart. So what happened was I developed it in my feet to begin with. So I just woke up and I had sore feet and I didn't think much of it. So I went about my day and noticed that it passed by mid-morning. But this continued to happen each morning. And so I went and got a blood test when I got back to Sydney because I was traveling for stand-up. Actually, I was in another state doing some shows. And I got back to Sydney and I had a blood test done and the doctor sat me down and showed me the results and was very serious and sort of dramatic about it. Said, this is rheumatoid arthritis and you're going to have to see a rheumatologist. And I didn't know anything about it. No one in my family has rheumatoid arthritis. I'd heard of it vaguely, but I didn't appreciate that it was a really serious thing. I was naive to any kind of health problems, as I said, other than some acne as a teenager and the consequential digestive problems that I had in my 20s, which were more like a little bit of like, indigestion from time to time, a little bit of more sort of blockages after eating certain foods like dairy products and things, nothing that I considered serious. So other than those couple of things, I'd never had any kind of health problems, and I was a cross-country champion. I was sports captain at school, all sorts of things. Like, I considered myself to be unlikely to be the sort of person that ever got any health problems. So when I was told about rheumatoid arthritis, I thought, it can't be that bad. Then I saw the rheumatologist, and the message that I was getting from the medical profession and from looking online as well was that this was serious stuff. And sure enough, my body was responding in a very serious manner.
Wow.
The first real scare that I got, though, that really, like, I started to panic, was after a couple of months of having the condition and watching it from my feet into my hands and wrists and things, and I'd also had it really bad in my left knee, was then I started taking some ibuprofen for the condition. So my doctor knew that I didn't want to go on methotrexate, which is a disease modifying drug that works the way that I mentioned before, where the disease drug stops the immune system from working the way that it should. I didn't want to go on that drug. Now, methotrexate's actually a cancer drug, so it's like a small dose of chemotherapy. And I thought, I don't want to be doing that. And he just told me it would probably be on for the rest of my life. Holy heck, you know.
Yeah.
What else can I do? So he's like, well, just, you know, try this ibuprofen, just take that for a while, it'll suppress the pain. And so after 3 weeks of taking the that's just a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, of course. And after 3 weeks of taking it, I decided, I'm just going to try and stop taking this because I feel like it's not working as much, so I might as well stop taking it. But wouldn't believe, after I stopped taking the painkillers, my pain was at least 50% worse than what it was just a few weeks ago when I'd started taking them. And wow. I had been sort of only steadily worsening, like maybe like 1%, 2% a week. And I had just added 50% of severity to my condition in just a few weeks by taking these painkillers.
Wow.
And that's when I panicked, because I thought, I've got no options left. I thought, taking the drug makes me way worse, and I had no idea why. It took me years to work out why after that. And yet, so I can't take the drug, but I have to take something because this is agony. And little did I know, it only got worse from there. That was like a couple of months into my, like 4 or 5 months. Wow. And then eventually I went on to the methotrexate, and I had to go on the methotrexate in the end, and was told that I wouldn't be able to have kids whilst on the methotrexate. So in parallel to this, I got engaged to my now wife, Melissa, who put a lot of faith in me and where our future may end up and not the way that it was heading. And so I'm forever grateful for her to have taken that leap of faith. You know, getting down on one knee was very challenging for me to actually propose to her. And,
oh,
you know,
man.
It's not like the exact, like, you know, postcard proposal. I'm sure when you're a girl and hoping that one day your gentleman will get down on one knee, but I was struggling, you know, and
wow.
And she said yes, and we went ahead. And so the whole time, you know, this discussion around not being able to have children whilst on this drug was one that weighed very heavy on us. And so it was probably that above all else that was my biggest motivating fuel and passion to try and get off the medications, because whilst that is obviously something that's a great outcome of having improved health, for me it was probably my number one thing. I just wanted to be able to have kids one day, and if that meant doing whatever it takes to get well, then I will do whatever it takes to get well, no matter what, you know. And so I made that decision after I stopped outsourcing my health problems to everyone, to naturopaths and Chinese herbalists and acupuncturists. And, you know, I saw everyone and spent all my money on trying to get well, and everyone did the very best they could. But it was only when I finally made the choices around what went into my mouth every day did we finally see some impact on the inflammation.
Wow, that is just absolutely incredible. My goodness, jeez. Well, stay tuned right there, Clint. I'm just going to do a quick little spot for one of our health tools that we like to promote. And my goodness, guys, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this on YouTube, and you're listening to Clint's story, let me just bring up his website again. It's such a great website. It's called the Pattison Program, and I highly recommend, if you know anyone whose body has rheumatoid arthritis, you can check it out, pattisonprogram.com. What a story. Watch his TED Talk. There's probably a link on his website to his TED Talk. I think under his, if you get the program, you'll see a link to that. But my goodness, it's just an absolute amazing story. So make sure to check that out. This is episode 591. So if you want to grab the show notes for today's show, make sure to go to extremehealthradio.com/591. And I wanted to tell you really quickly about one of our favorite health tools that we love, love, love this thing. It is the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. And if you guys haven't looked into sauna therapy, there's so many great studies about how sauna and heat therapy and cold thermogenesis as well, bringing the body to a really hot internal temperature, helps to dramatically increase heat shock proteins, increase all kinds of immune stimulating abilities of the body. And I'm a big fan of sauna therapy. I do it every single day. It's one of our best sort of selling products that we have in our store, is the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. And you're looking here at Dr. Rhonda Patrick and a lot of her studies that she has put together about sauna therapy and what it does for your immune system. And it's amazing because it helps to detoxify chemicals, heavy metals, and toxins and poisons that get stored in our fat cells. And so one of the things that Dr. Patrick was talking about was there, I think in one of the studies that she referenced, is that there's a 40% decrease in all-cause mortality for people that do regular hypothermia therapy every single week. So I think it's up to somewhere around 4 to 5 times per week. There's a 40% decrease in all-cause mortality. I mean, that's just crazy. So we love the Relax Farnford sauna. That's the one we have. It's really, really great. You can see it in our store. There it is right there. And it's cool because it's portable. It doesn't cost $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And it uses far infrared heat, which is incredible for getting deep into your bones, and it heats up right away. That's one of the things I love about it, is that it sort of heats up right away. And so you don't have to preheat it for 30 minutes. You can lend it to a friend. Like I said, it's portable. It's just an incredible, incredible healing tool. And we ship them all over the world. They're just great, great pieces of equipment to have in your home. And so if you have the budget for it, it's one of the cheaper, in terms of cost, healing tools in as far as sauna goes, because sometimes those wooden ones go to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. And so we have a lot of really, really cool products like the sauna that I want to just tell you about. Let me go over to our store really quickly. You can probably see, let's show that real quick. We've got a lot of really cool products in our store, and that's sort of how we keep the show free. That's how we allow everything to be free. And you know, we have the blue blocking sunglasses. We just talked to Andy Mance the other day over in Perth, Australia. So it's been a lot of interviews lately in Australia. And we've got the IMRS machine. We've got the Air Doctor Pro, the air purifier. These are all really great, great products. The Magnetico mattress sleep pad. So a lot of really cool products in our store. So thank you guys for supporting the work that we do. That's how we keep the shows free. And it's really, really great. So thanks guys for that. And make sure to go over to Clint's website and check that out, PattisonProgram.com. And so Clint, I wanted to ask you, I know before the show that I really wanted to sort of ask you, like, what were some of the foods that you talked about? You talked about before that it wasn't really until you dialed in the food that you were putting in your body every day. We don't think about that. A lot of people don't think about that when it comes to rheumatoid. But what were some of the foods that were giving you the worst reactions at that time?
I don't know what it was that was triggering all the inflammation. And in fact, the most likely answer to that is everything that I was eating, because my digestive process had pretty much collapsed. Now, if I apply sort of my understanding of how this works and lay that on top of where I was at the time, then I would say that I had very low stomach acid, that I had very low or definitely reduced amount of digestive enzymes being released to help break down my food. I would say that I had a slow stool transit time, meaning that my waste was not moving quickly through my body, and therefore I was getting some toxic reabsorption. I would say that I had severe intestinal permeability or leaky gut, meaning that a lot of the undigested proteins and unwanted pathogenic bacteria was leaking into my blood. I would say that I was extremely acidic as a body. I was taking in far too much processed foods and acidifying animal protein. And I had a sluggish lymphatic system. I wasn't exercising, and so metabolic waste was just not being effectively removed from my cells. And a consequence of all this was just a perfect storm for anything going into my body not very well being processed and coming out the other end the right way that it should.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. So how much of a percentage do you think those pharmaceutical, I forget what those antibiotics that you were talking about for 5 years, like would you say 90% chance, 95% chance that had you not taking any of those, you would not have had rheumatoid arthritis, do you think?
That would be my guess. I would say that I would still not know what rheumatoid arthritis was to this day had I not taken antibiotics as a teenager. Wow. That's my honest, strongest feeling.
Wow.
Yes.
So the idea that the gut is playing a major, major role in this, we're learning more and more about the connection to the gut, to the brain, and then back and forth, and the brain receives a lot of its nutrients from the gut and vice versa. And so we're learning about this. But what's crazy to me is that, you know, this whole study of the microbiome is, gosh, it's not even really 20 years old in terms of popularity. People have known about it for a long time, but it's not until the last 10 years even that people have been really looking into this gut-brain connection and the gut into all health disease processes and things like that. And so do you think the gut is the number one causative factor for RA, people with RA?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me explain my view on this. And so this can help to put more of a widespread approach of understanding rather than us, you know, feeling satisfied that we can just say the gut or microbiome, which to some people might be non-specific or it might just be a little foreign. So let me put some pictures into this because I like to paint pictures so that people can visualize this stuff and it helps to provide a way of remembering these concepts. And I'll do that using an acronym that I created, which I found helpful for me to remember this. And that acronym is BLAME. So I say, what's the blame here? What is the blame of the arthritis? Where is it coming from? And the blame has two A's in the middle. And that just happens to be because there's a few more things going on. So blame stands for bacterial overgrowth. So we have a bacterial overgrowth or a dysbiosis. We have a situation where there is not enough good guys and there are too many bad guys in as simplest terms as possible. And this bacteria is crucial. The bacteria help to make decisions about what is pathogenic inside your intestines to be prevented from entering the bloodstream, and what is acceptable, what should we allow into our bloodstream. Because at every moment as we sit here watching this, listening to this, me talking, you talking, whatever, everyone at this exact moment of time is moving stuff into their bloodstream from their intestines. It's happening all the time. And what should we put in and what should we prevent? Well, it's a crucial question because the intestinal skin has a far more important thing to do than our outer extreme skin that we look at, because if that gets cut, then that can heal quickly and it's only a very small amount of problems that can enter our body through a small cut. But on our inside, we only have this single cellular layer that prevents everything that we jam into our mouth from actually entering directly into our bloodstream. So we need to make very intelligent decisions about what's allowed into our bloodstream, because you can imagine the catastrophic effects if the wrong things get into our bloodstream through inadvertently eating something that might be highly infectious or contain really bad bacteria, for example. So we have to get our bacteria right. Now, bacteria love to eat fiber and resistant starch. We just got to have the right gut bacteria. And again, fiber love plants. Okay, anything that comes from a plant is going to be beneficial to bacteria. And so I emphasize in our program as much plants as you can possibly eat. You can't do much better than eating plants, and I think that's universally accepted. Eat more plants; it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And so, the next part of the acronym in BLAME is L, and that's for leaky gut. And so, what's happening is that if we have a breakdown of our protective and intelligent bacteria, we can establish a condition of gut leakiness, which is a very, very common phenomenon. And in fact, we need to have a degree of gut leakiness from time to time whenever we are faced with a fight or flight situation. So if suddenly the lion jumps into our room right now, my body's not interested in digesting food. What it's interested in is getting the heck out of here. And so what happens is the body allows a lot of the food that's passing through your intestines to go straight into your bloodstream. And there it can be used as fuel for me to run as quickly and as long as possible and access this instant fuel source. And so the body can have these adaptive tricks where your intestinal permeability can change quickly at any time. But under a general day-to-day state, we just allow small amounts of energy, glucose, into the bloodstream, and then we keep moving things along until they're small enough to pass through our what's called tight junctions in our intestinal lining. But when you have a breakdown of your digestive process, you can have what can be thought of as small holes in the fabric of your intestinal wall, allowing larger particles to enter the bloodstream. These larger particles, and they can be undigested food particles, or they can be bacteria themselves, can get in there and they can wreak havoc and confusion in the immune system. And these bacteria have been shown in rheumatoid arthritis studies to actually end up in the joints themselves of folks with rheumatoid. And this can trigger an immune reaction, swelling, heat, and so on. Wow. And the body can also attach to these particles as they enter the bloodstream and create immune complexes, which can also get caught into the joints. And so what we're seeing in the joints and getting this inflammation in the joints ultimately has originated from our gut. And so we've got a situation where what should be confined to our 22 feet of intestines actually is allowed to escape and enter parts of our body where they should not be, namely the blood. So that's our B and L. And then we have two A's for blame in this case. We have A for acidosis, and everything we eat can be processed and end up with an ash after we burn that fuel. So and a good example is something like lemon, which is highly acidic on our tongue, and it's a highly acidic in its natural form, but it's full of minerals. And so when we actually consume this and our hydrochloric acid and digestive enzymes interact with that lemon, then the outcome through a chemical change is actually then highly alkaline as a result. And so it's the result of the food plus our digestive interaction is whether or not it becomes an alkaline or acidic approach or result for our body. And so eating a lot of animal proteins results in a highly acidic ash left in the body, because the proteins from animals contain more sulfur, and you actually end up with more acid as a result, sulfuric acid, literally sulfuric acid. And so this is obviously one of the challenges amongst as well as processed foods and so on. Now you're still with me?
I'm still with you.
Good. Okay, beautiful. I know this is a long piece, but
no,
okay,
this is
so
great.
Then we've got another A, and the A stands for acid secretion. So whilst we're on one hand building up this acidosis in our body due to eating foods that are not being supportive for our health, we're also having a challenge with studies supporting this, that people with rheumatoid arthritis have low stomach acid or acid secretion. Stomach acid is crucial primarily for the breakdown of proteins. Okay, it also serves a purpose for being a natural deodorizer or disinfectant for stuff that comes into our mouth that we consume that we don't want to go any further. So our stomach acid almost acts like a giant bouncer outside the nightclub, and it sees things coming in that shouldn't be there, and it just pounds them because it's powerful. So that's the secondary role that stomach acid plays. Or our primary role is this breaking down of proteins. Now, remember that it's the proteins entering into the blood that are the most problematic and trigger the immune response. And so if we've got low stomach acid, then we've got problems coming at us from two angles. One, we've got the leaky gut, which is allowing proteins in. But number two, we're low on stomach acid, which was kind of our backup to breaking down these proteins into amino acids, which are harmless. And if they go into the bloodstream, body doesn't care. In fact, that's where it builds its proteins from.
Wow.
So this is where we're finding, this building this case for what's going on here, what the blame or the breakdown is. So the last two letters for the last two explanations are M and E. So M stands for mucosal lining. So we've got an additional protective barrier of mucus over all of our intestinal wall. And this mucosal barrier is most thick inside the colon, and that's where most of our bacteria live, inside the colon. We also have a thinner layer of mucus inside the small intestine, which is that 22 feet that I talked about before, but there's not much bacteria in there, partially because the hydrochloric acid tends to get on down there a little bit and sort of prevent the growth of healthy bacteria as well as bad, but also because the mucosal lining is thin, and it's really when we get into the colon where you got a nice thick juicy amount of mucus that the bacteria can thrive in. That's where all the action's at.
Wow.
Now, drugs like prednisone are anti-mucosal. And prednisone, we mentioned right at the start of this call, is a common rheumatoid arthritis drug used to suppress symptoms for folks who are not, are in a lot of pain. And so prednisone's actually been successfully shown to reduce the asthma effects with people with asthma because it clears the mucus, right? But if you're constantly clearing the mucus and that becomes systemic and you clear the mucus in your colon as well, you're in a lot of trouble. Because if you eliminate the home of where your bacteria live, bacteria can't even reproduce, even if you're gone crazy with supplementing probiotics and eating bacteria-friendly foods. There's literally nowhere for them to live. And so this is a major issue. And so I see mucosal lining depletion as one of the more severe components of rheumatoid arthritis problems, because it's not that difficult to change the microbiome. We can eat the right foods and see shifts in the microbiome within weeks, but restoring the mucosal lining is an area that I am looking at more over the last sort of year or two, because that's the area that seems to be most difficult to re-establish in the short term. Can be done, because I see people with extreme rheumatoid arthritis still manage to make steady improvements, which means that this, by definition, has to be improving. But I think that's the slow portion of the process. That's where I think it's at. And then finally, the E for blame is enzymes or enzyme deficiency. And we can have sluggish ducts, enzymatic ducts, where the enzymes are being created and produced, and then they have to pass through ducts before they are released into the intestines. And they can become clogged and unresponsive, just like any other pipeline of in your house or any other pipeline like an artery or a blood vessel in the body, which can become blocked and clogged at times. And so we might actually see enzymes not getting to mix with the foods, and that is also an aspect of all of this. And if we don't have our enzymes, which act as scissors to cut up our foods and break down our fats and proteins and carbohydrates and cellulose and so on, then we end up with more of this undigested stuff further down the digestive wall, and then potentially presenting itself into our bloodstream. So all of that explains the breakdown of the digestive system, which leads to rheumatoid arthritis, because the particles of blood end up confusing the immune system, which then starts to see proteins in the body, which can look a heck of a lot like some of those proteins in blood. Or we just have this battle going on with the lodged inflammatory particles in the joints themselves. So all of this contributes to the joint pain and quite a large problem to try and reverse, let me say.
Yeah, I imagine, because like a lot of the people that you work with, some people have, you know, varying degrees of success, right? And sometimes I would imagine too that, you know, some people might have like an incredible turnaround in a short amount of time. Some people might have an incredible turnaround in a long period of time. Some people might have an incredible turnover or turnaround, and it might take them 10 years to get to that turnaround. So I imagine there's, you know, it changes with everybody, I would imagine. And it makes sense because if the biome, if the gut biome is so dynamic based on what we're doing and thinking and the stress and everything that we're exposed to on a daily basis, I would imagine that fixing that over time would be possible, but it would change almost daily, right?
Yeah, it's so true. There's so many influences to the microbiome. So if you've got all of these variables, and you are only trying to impact a few of them, but there are multiple others that are harder to have complete control over, then you're not going to only go success, 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 success.
Right.
And in fact, my experience with getting rid of my infection, getting off my medications, and feeling like I understand how this process works to the point where I can help, I believe I can help anyone with their current state to reach an improved, you know, my whole experience was periods of apparent no improvement for months and months and months, and then occasional breakthroughs that would take me to a slightly improved state where I would stay for more months and months and months, and then another small breakthrough, and then plateau again for months and months. So this process Wow. was excruciatingly slow. The reason I had faith the entire time, and the reason that I knew that the gut was the answer and that I just had to keep persevering, is because of an experience I had where I, one time in the early stages of changing my diet, had food poisoning. And after food poisoning, where I then vomited and diarrheaed for like a long period of time afterwards, and then a period of where I couldn't eat for 24 hours. After not eating for 24 hours and having vomited and diarrhea for all that, for a lot of that, I had gotten rid of virtually all my joint pain just from clearing my body of food.
Wow.
And I mean like so miraculously gone was the inflammation that it was like mind-blowing. And that's why the first 2 days of our program is a two-day vegetable juice cleanse, just of celery juice and cucumber juice. That's all you do for 2 days. And why do we do this? Three reasons. One is we want to dramatically alkalize the body, because those two particular juices are very good at reversing the acidosis that I mentioned just before. Number two, I want people to experience some absolute dramatic pain relief like they probably haven't had in years, just by not eating. Because when you make that connection, it's quite astounding that you just don't eat and you feel insanely better. You think, okay, this is amazing. And then the third part of why I do this is because it helps build trust in this process. Because if someone says, look, I'll do what Clint says for 2 days, I'll try this cleanse, and when they see the results they can get in 2 days, and that's something that they'd never experienced before, they then say to themselves, this guy's onto something. I'm going to do the rest of what he says, because so far he's been on the money. So that's another reason that I do it. You know, doing the 2 day cleanse is not a indicator of whether or not people will ultimately get long-term success. In fact, in those 2 days, not a lot of enormous long-term healing will take place. A lot of it's just for the reasons that I said, just having the experience and building compliance for the rest of the program and getting a bit of pain relief, or a lot of pain relief, for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do it. So, yeah, and it's powerful. So, you know, and as you said, some people can get profound results in a short period of time, and some people need a long period of time to get profound results. And the reason that it's so variable is because of all the things that we've been talking about, because there's so many things wrong with the digestive system of someone with rheumatoid arthritis, and we don't know which aspects of those areas are most compromised. And so if it's the mucosal lining, I believe that is a long-term project ahead. And people who've been on prednisone for many years, they are the most difficult for me to get fast results with. I always warn them, look, this is going to be a long-term project. And same with people who've been on antibiotics for many years. There's a process that some people follow. It's called the Brown Protocol, which is an antibiotic treatment protocol. And again, in my personal experience, working with people who've followed that particular approach for many years, they can also take a long time to see results, because if you've wiped a lot of your bacteria out in your gut, you're in a similar kind of difficult starting point as someone who doesn't have a lot of mucus inside the colon, because that's where they need to live.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So you have to restore the mucosal lining. You have to restore the gut permeability, and as well as the bacteria. So there's a lot of things to work on in terms of, you know, healing the gut. And, you know, have you found that there's a spiritual, emotional aspect to all of this? Because, you know, a lot of people have traumatic, you know, events that happen as a result, and then from that, they might get some sort of, you know, diagnosis of something, or some disease process could start as a result of, you know, some emotional upheaval in their life. I'm sure you see that a lot, right? The history of heat therapy dates back over 2,400 years, and it was Hippocrates who said, "Give me the power to produce fever, and I will cure all disease." This FDA-approved medical device called the Biomat is a mat that you can lay on, read on, sleep on, do yoga on, sit on, and it can be used on office chairs, massage tables, and the like to help the body heal itself. It's inlaid with 30 pounds of healing crystals using amethyst and a rare black tourmaline, producing negative ions in a healing electrical field. These healing crystals help to restore cellular health by replacing electrons to the atoms, as well as penetrating deep into the body by 4 to 6 inches. What can the Biomat do for you? It'll improve your skin, burns as many calories as if you went jogging for 30 minutes. It improves the immune system by up to 40% or more, reduces stress and fatigue, removes toxins, lowers cholesterol, relieves pain, revitalizes cellular metabolism. It improves cell channels to deliver nutrients and oxygen to every one of your cells. It activates over 3,000 enzymes. And even a Harvard medical study showed cancer cells die at over 42 degrees Celsius. It reduces stress hormones by up to 78%. It allows your body to produce heat shock proteins, which increases endorphins, NK cells, T cells, and lymphocytes. It's very, very low EMF, and it's got a 17-layer technology. Dr. Mark Serkis is the director of the International Medical Veritas Association. Explain to us more about these biomats.
These biomats are these far infrared mattresses. You lay on them, or you sleep on them, or both. You do, you know, very heavy treatments during the day, and at night you, you know, sleep at, you know, just a nice comfortable temperature. These biomats are like these love machines, comfort machines, and healing machines, because what they do is they just radiate out light, far infrared light, and you can radiate yourself all night long while you're sleeping when you're not doing anything else. And what happens is this light penetrates the body and turns to heat. And the first thing that happens when you bring your core body temperature up 1 degree is your immune system strength increases by 40-50%. They feel when you lay down on them, you know, you guys know, you have one. So it's like the feeling is so good. It's like being in the cuddling with a lover, your wife or husband. It's just warmth and comfort.
How are you using biomats for patients in your clinics?
You know, the cancer treatment using heat is very aggressive, meaning during the day, you sandwich yourself in between two of them, turn it onto high heat, and bake the cancer. The cancer will die before you will. No, this is, you know,
that's
you can
awesome.
Go to England and spend $20,000 and use microwave a cancer out of existence. These biomats basically do the same thing. You know, radiation therapy for cancer is really a solid idea. Unfortunately, oncologists use the wrong radiation. They use radiation that kills you. This biomat uses radiation that can save your life and make your life more comfortable, keep you warm in the cold, and help take care of your kids and all, you know, the list doesn't end.
Yeah, because isn't there some sort of temperature at which cancer cells will start dying?
Right, and it's below the temperature that human cells will die.
So you really like this biomat far infrared technology, don't you?
But it's really strengthened me. Well, now the kids are addicted to it. You know, they fight on who's going to sleep on it at night. And it changed, not only changed my life, but it changed my medical practice and my books. This is a great machine for anybody who lives in the cold during the winter. Instead of heating a big house, you just heat yourself. What, bottom line, it brings good feelings. Just lay on this biomat and it gives the strength back.
I can attest to that indeed. Kate and I love ours and we think you will too. Learn more about these amazing biomats at extremehealthradio.com/biomat. Or you could check them out in our store as well. Again, that's extremehealthradio.com/biomat.
Yeah, absolutely. And and what I think that does all still kind of can fall under the one umbrella of stress, you know, and I think it's an emotional stress. Any kind of, you know, as you say, like upheaval or like big, event that happens in life that throws us off balance, is going to put a lot of pressure on the immune system. And something else that we haven't mentioned that pops to mind now is the hormonal connection as well. Mm. Now, 60 to 70% of people who develop rheumatoid arthritis actually are female. And what we see is that there is a strong connection to the hormones and inflammation levels. So each month, more than half of females experience a rise in symptoms right around the time of their menstrual cycle. So we see this for, you know, a lot of females, over half every month are experiencing more symptoms with their rheumatoid arthritis during the period of their period. And we notice that anecdotally as well, a tremendous number of females get diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis shortly after they give birth. And what happens is there is a precipitous change in hormonal levels for females after their after they give birth, as all of those elevated estrogen and progesterone levels. Those hormones that have been highly elevated during pregnancy are just suddenly just released and dropped. So the hormone levels drop fast. And what is seemingly occurring is that there seems to be a link between that sudden shift in hormones as well and the onset of rheumatoid arthritis. So hormones are playing a role as well. You know, a lot of females develop rheumatoid arthritis around middle age, you know, around about years where they're going through menopause. So no one knows all the answers. I certainly don't know all the answers, but I can observe things through all the people I work with and the studies that I read, and I know what works. And that's I think what matters the most is what I'm good at is getting results. So I can look at a situation, and whilst no one in the world, including myself, understand all aspects of this condition, if we can get results, that's crucial, and that's most important to people, and that's what changes lives. So, you know, if I can push a few people in the right direction of getting good results, as I know we're sort of running a little short of time, But I endorse as much plants as possible. We want to eat as much whole food plant foods as possible. I personally believe a plant-based diet is preferable for this condition, and people can approach that as far as they want to, and go all the way if they wish. And then my program takes it a step further and shows which plant foods to begin with as an elimination process, and then which ones to reintroduce in what order based on likelihood of being able to reintroduce these foods and gain the health benefits. Quite often, gut restorative health benefits from specific foods, mm-hmm. And then slowly build their diet out again, and starting from almost like ground zero and laying the concrete, putting up the foundational walls of the house, and then slowly, you know, building in the window frames and putting on a roof. We rebuild the digestive system by starting all from basics again. And the process is hard. Our program's bloody hard. There's no doubt about it. And if no one's up for a challenge, then forget it. Just keep taking the drugs and keep doing what the doctor says, because you got to want to change. You have to really want to get well, and you have to want to get pain down and get results, because our process is difficult. But at the same time, you quite quickly get used to the foods and you get used to the discipline. And when you get results, it's extremely motivating and you feel better. You know, I say most people can halve their pain within 2 weeks. Now, that's pretty good, right? And wow, that's typically what I tell people they should expect. So if you can halve your pain in 2 weeks, but you're eating some foods that you consider maybe not as tasty as the local, you know, takeaway store or fast foods, then sure. But with time, the microbiome changes. And as you said before, when your microbiome changes, you get different signals to your brain. The brain and the gut have that axis there. They communicate. And soon you've got different taste buds. You've got different desires. You've got different priorities. You're thinking, you're an entirely different person with different priorities and a different outlook on life. And personally, I think that is exciting. And I think that is something that that's profoundly awesome. And if we can feed our bacteria so that they provide us with more enlightened decisions and enlightened ways of looking at food, not just as something that serves us as a satiator of taste and gluttony, but of something that's pure and from the ground and can, through, I don't know, this sense of connection, rebuild our health, then I get excited about this stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I know you're close for time, but really quickly, tell people about what they will get. Like, if you're considering purchasing, we don't make any, there's nothing that we make in terms of financial benefit from your course or anything, but I just want people to know, like, if they're considering purchasing the program, like, what does it actually entail?
It is a start to finish, step by step, full course that has training videos around all aspects of how to reverse rheumatoid arthritis and inflammatory arthritis in general. So it's not just rheumatoid, but if people are faced with conditions like lupus, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, and the spectrum of inflammatory arthritic conditions, then what we do is we have a step-by-step guide to follow, where we show you what to eat, how to exercise, what supplements to take, which ones to avoid, which medications to talk to your doctor about, and which ways are best to reducing, minimizing external stresses. Now, a lot of this stuff is going to come across when you begin as extremely well simplified, but I think that that's important. Like, for example, when we talk about how to exercise, one of the key things we want to do is create some sweat every day. When we begin to sweat, we have elevated our heart rate and activated our lymphatic system to the point where we're starting to eliminate toxins. And so we just want to really dial that in. And every day we want to get into a position where we can sweat. Now, It can be as simple as buying a $120 exercise bike secondhand from eBay, setting it up in the spare bedroom or garage of your home, and getting on it for 20 minutes. That, I'm telling you folks, is going to change your life. And while some people say, well, you know, I've tried exercise before, but it didn't have that much of an effect. Well, did you sweat every day? That is the question. If not, then trust me, this is going to be a life changer. And in each category, we take best practice and show people what to do. Staying on exercise, for example, with each aspect of the physical body that's inflamed, whether it be the shoulders, knees, ankles, feet, fingers, wrists, whatever it might be, if we have inflammation there, we've got some simple tools, exercises, video training around how to reduce those aspects of inflammation. And in each case, it can be vastly different. For example, how to reverse inflammation in the feet is a completely contradictory approach to how we might go about it in the elbows. And just to give you sort of examples, in the feet, we don't want to specifically exercise these. We don't want to be pressing into them hard on by walking barefoot on rocks or on sand if we've got a lot of inflammation. Whereas the elbows love to be challenged. Elbows need to have specific weight-bearing exercises applied to them so that we can build the muscles, the connective tissues up to protect the joint and to get blood moving through the joint area and to get that synovial fluid moving around and to create good integrity and strength around the elbow. So there's some examples of how we need to be really specific about what we're doing here so that we can get great results. And obviously with the diet, there's so much information around that. And we answer all the frequently asked questions like, well, where do you get your protein if you're not eating animal products? What about this and what about that? And you know, I've been at this now for us and answering people's questions from all over the world, you know, virtually every day. And so there's not an angle or question that I haven't come across before. And so we've got an extraordinarily in-depth frequently asked question guide with videos and training. So I do feel that we offer something absolutely tremendous for the small amount of investment that people will make to get the program. And for those people who haven't got $100 to be able to you know, go through this, what I consider life-changing approach, we have a podcast as well. And listen to our podcast. Like Justin, if you like Justin's podcast, but you've got rheumatoid, well, we spend all our time just talking about rheumatoid. And so you can add that to your playlist as well. And, you know, this in this sense, you can extract all this information from me without having to spend anything, which I understand as well. So, yeah, I hope that's helped. It's called the Patterson Podcast. You'll find it on iTunes.
That's awesome. Awesome. Awesome stuff. And so do you have anything in the works, any new plans, any new projects?
Yeah, thanks, man. We're working on this book. We've been talking about it for a long time. Our product is entirely digital at the moment, but people just want to have a book. And I get this all the time. Yeah. And I can totally understand that. And, you know, writing a book, it's funny how creating digital content, publishing things quickly and so forth comes very naturally, and I think it's just a sign of our digital age. But writing the book is sort of has that sense of authority and formalness and a little bit of once it's done, it's always going to be out there. It's harder to change. Right. So it's taken me longer to put the book together than anything else that I've worked on in this space. And but that's okay, because I want it to be just a definitive, authoritative manual for people with this condition that can be put not only on the table at home and followed by everyone with the condition, but my visualization and my picture for the future is this book will end up in every rheumatology office around the world and have every page dog-eared and marked and highlighted, and that the rheumatologist, when they see a new patient, will be able to pop the book down in front of the person and say, look, you also should read this book. Go and get yourself a copy. It's on Amazon. And it could be something that you want to look at as well in parallel to the medical treatment that we'll take. And I would hope that the doctor would be able to say that if you follow this, you may need less drugs and you may be able to also improve other aspects of your health, such as your high blood pressure and your, pre-onset type 2 diabetes and so on, which all we've seen improve on a plant-based diet. So that's my view of the future, and I'm writing the book in a way that isn't critical at all of the medical community or the medical approach, but rather puts everything into balance. And I'm aiming to be able to be endorsed by the medical profession, and that's why there's 250 scientific papers referenced in the book. So every time I make a statement about a certain aspect of the digestive system and its relationship to rheumatoid arthritis or physical exercise, there's a reference here. Check it out. If you don't believe me, go to it. And I'm hoping that my vision will come true and that this thing's going to be rock solid.
Wow, that's amazing, man. A lot of work getting all those references. That's crazy.
It's crazy, crazy. But I'd already put in so much of that work already, because I have already a PDF called A Guide for Rheumatologists, and that's available on my website. If people just go to pattersonprogram.com/GUIDE, I think it's there. It might be guide-for-rheumatologists. But I think it's /guide. They'll be able to download that for free and take that to their rheumatologist as a printout. So, look, I'm from a scientific background, 4 years of optoelectronics, laser physics. I did an honors year and I had to publish a thesis which was heavily referencing the science. There we go. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, so it's guide-for-rheumatologists. And you can enter your name and email address and I'll send it out to your email address automatically. And you can download that. It's all there. It's all there. People talk about, why don't you do a scientific study or do a clinical trial on the Patterson program? I feel like the Patterson program is actually, on the flip side, a collection of all the evidence that already exists. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that, that's why it works. And that's why, I'm proud to talk about it a lot and get enthusiastic about it a lot, because I'm sure, as you know, Justin, when you've got something that you're proud of and that you know gets results and that you know isn't just yet another of a me too kind of offering in the world, but this is something that is something that's a game changer, you get pretty excited when you talk about it.
Oh, man. I know, right? I mean, it's the fact that you can help so many people with this information is just it's incredible, and you know how and how much pain people are in. You know, that's the thing. It's like, and so it's tremendous that you're able to do this, and you've been able to make some breakthroughs and really hammering in on the microbiome and the gut, and really like taking it, just drilling that knowledge into people. And you know, it makes sense that, like, you know, you really gotta focus on that aspect of your health. And I love what you're doing, man. And it's just giving people so much hope, you know, and getting off of drugs and off of medications. I mean, you look at all the quote side effects of these things, and they're really just effects of the drugs. They're not side effects. They're effects of the drugs. And long term, I mean, you were not supposed to be able to have kids, and you have two beautiful daughters. And one of the reasons why we couldn't connect up is you just had the birth of your second daughter, right? Amazing.
actually, we're even more than that. It was the birth of our third, and it's a boy this time.
So
we've gone from two girls, and then we've just had the boy. And so he's 3 weeks old today. And we had a funny time trying to connect, didn't we? Because each time, you know, in each instance, it was my mistake. But in each instance, I was caught up with tremendous family activity relating to the little ones that I just couldn't get out of. So I appreciate you accommodating me, even though I was probably the most annoying guest that you've tried to organize onto the show.
No, not at all. I'm just congratulations on the new one. And it's amazing because, you know, I watched your video on your TED Talk of, you know, when you ran up the hill, after doing your treatment that you came up with. And, you know, just an incredible journey, incredible story that you've had. And it's just so cool. I mean, you're embodying everything that we stand for on our radio show, is teaching people how to get off of medications or wean themselves off and live a more natural lifestyle. And you're living that and offering so much hope to people. It's just incredible. And so, yeah, man, keep doing the good work you're doing.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that you've set up this platform for people who have this passion that you and I obviously both share. You know, I know a lot of work goes into having a radio show like this, and you know, just loving what you're doing. I think you said we're up to 500 and something episodes, so obviously you've put a ton of work into this over the years. So you know, as a guest, I feel, you know, really really happy and impressed with what you've been able to do, and I'm sure all your listeners would love to be able to say that, so I'm saying that on their behalf.
Thanks, Clint. Hey, next time if my wife and I can make it over to Australia again, we have my uncle moved from Manly Beach all the way up to Foster, so next time we go, we'll probably be hitting up Foster. I hear they have some great beaches, but maybe we'll have to come on down to, you know, where you are in the northern beaches.
Yeah, we're in the Northern Beaches. We are in a place called DY, which is a lovely spot. And we've got a house here that you'd be very welcome to come stay at if you'd like.
Yeah, let us know if you ever come over here too in South Orange County. That would be amazing. So awesome, Clint. You're the man. Thank you so much for the work that you do. And congratulations on your new baby boy. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you, and congratulations on your twins from just a few weeks ago. Congratulations. I look forward to seeing some pictures of them at some point.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right, Clint, thank you so much. And for those that are listening live, we are now doing the show live, which is a lot of fun. So stay tuned, and I'm going to do a little wrap-up. And thanks for joining us. I really, really appreciate it so, so much. And you guys are amazing. And we do our shows live every Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time and 10:45 a.m. Pacific time. So if you follow us on our Extreme Health Radio or Extreme Health Academy Facebook page or our Extreme Health Radio YouTube page, you'll get notifications when we go live, and it's a lot of fun. So thanks, guys, for joining us. We love you, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. So one of the cool things Clint was talking about was regular exercise. And I'm not sure if you guys, if you've looked into moving meditation. And I'm a big fan of moving meditation. I'm a big fan of meditation in general. I think meditation is one of the best things that we could ever do for our own health. And obviously stress is going to be a huge, huge component in rheumatoid arthritis. And you know, Qigong is a ancient practice. It's been practiced by Chinese culture for thousands of years, over 4,000 years. And what I like about it is that it allows your nervous system to really be grounded. And you know, regular meditation is great, but there's something healing, tremendously healing, about doing a moving meditation, because you're envisioning. It uses your mind, and you're envisioning the healing process happening, and you're solidifying that with specific movements that help to ground the body and to build your energy and to really, really offset a lot of the stress. So if you're someone who's really stressed out, or if you have, you know, if you have problems in with regular meditation, really look into Qigong. Qigong is an ancient practice, and there's a reason why they've been practicing it for 4,000 years. What's cool about this program that we promote called Good Morning, Good Evening Qigong by Tristan Truscott and Peter Ragnar is it's a comprehensive program that walks you step by step through all the different movements. But then at the end, it boils down to doing a 10-minute practice in the morning and a 10-minute practice in the evening. And if your body has rheumatoid arthritis symptoms, I would highly recommend Qigong as a form of exercise that you could do every day to really envision and manifest the healing process in your body. And I think it's something that you definitely want to check out if you're currently dealing with any kind of rheumatoid arthritis in your body, or if you just, you know, this is a longevity exercise. It's a exercise they do in the East for longevity, and it's a way to ground your body and to reduce stress in your life and to build your qi. The Chinese talk about the qi is this invisible life force that is sort of gets depleted by every single thing that we do in our life. So if we're living a highly stressful life, and you know, it's really, really, you know, putting a lot of stress and a lot of cortisol is being released in your body, and you're just really tense all the time, that's depleting your qi. And you know, sometimes, in, you know, certain people might say that there's a certain amount of heartbeats that you have for a lifetime. But, you know, other people say, no, that's not true. You can elongate your life and you can have incredible lifespan by engaging in these anti-aging practices like Tai Chi or Qigong. I'm a big fan of Qigong. I think it's just, it's an incredible sort of daily discipline to do. So go over to our store. I'll show you our store right now and you can check that out. I mean, it's just really, really great, really, really great product. And I'm really a big fan of it. And so check out our store if you guys want to learn more about the Qigong course. I highly recommend it. It's just a great, great, just a great program, and I'm really, really proud to tell people about it. I'm really proud to promote it. It's just a great, great thing. So, how did you guys like that show with Clint Pattison? I mean, I just got off the line with him. We did, gosh, probably another half an hour, 20 minutes, just talking about different aspects of his life and this amazing thing. I mean, the doctors told him that he wasn't even supposed to be able to have children. And so now he's got two girls and a boy, and look at the tremendous change he's been able to make in his life. I mean, like I was telling him, I'm not sure if I said this on the air or off the air, but man, he's just the embodiment of everything that we talk about on Extreme Health Radio. You know, he's putting into practice the very things that we talk about. And, you know, he's someone whose life could have gone either way. You know, he could have gone down the path of taking, you know, ungodly amounts of pharmaceutical medications in order to deal with his pain, or he could, you know, do the hard work and put in the effort. And man, what a story. What a story. If you watch his TED Talk, like, it's like emotional when you see him running for the first time, you know, after being in so much pain. I just cannot imagine the amount of pain that someone's in. And what a cool guy. What a cool guy. I hope you guys enjoyed that show. We're going to be doing shows live, or we are doing shows live now every Monday morning. So if you follow us on Extreme Health Radio, or I'm sorry, Extreme Health Academy Facebook page, or Extreme Health Radio YouTube page, you'll be able to see the live shows. And we're going to do a better job of allowing you guys to ask questions. I realized that we didn't have that much time because Clinton had to leave. He had some other previous engagements he had to get to, and so he was pressed for time, and so we couldn't ask as many questions as we'd like to have, because I had a ton of questions that I had to get through, you know, for him, because I'm just a curious guy and I have a lot of questions about things. So, but we'll do better at that. So we'll ask your questions on the live shows, and I hope you guys enjoyed this show. Like I said, we're doing them live now. So if you want to chime in, get your questions answered by the health expert we have on, then feel free to join us there. I just feel really grateful and really, really blessed to be able to do what we're doing. And we get emails all the time of people writing in and saying how much our show has helped them. And I mean, it's just an incredible thing to be able to be a part of something like that. And, you know, I could remember years ago when we first started the show, it was such a turning point, because I thought, you know, I'm not a classically trained radio personality. That's not my gift. I used to stutter as a child, you know. I mean, it's just crazy, you know, to be in this field when I used to stutter as a child. I mean, I used to go to speech therapy lessons, and now I'm on the radio, which is just incredible. But, you know, back a few years ago when I was deciding to do this, I remember it was like a pivotal moment for me because, you know, it was thousands of dollars for us to purchase the microphones and all of the equipment and all that stuff we needed to do the show. But there was no way to know if this was something that I would be good at or if I would like or that would be popular, people would listen to it. I had no way of knowing that without first spending all the money to get the equipment. Now it's a little bit different. You can get really good equipment for a lot less money. But back when we started the show, it was like, what a risk this is. What if I do the show and I just hate it or I'm not good at it or people don't like to listen to it or it's not popular, but man, as I continue to do the shows, I'm more and more excited about it. I'm more and more interested in it because, like, what's more interesting than helping people regain their lives? You know, for me, it's like, it's not really about health as much as it is about personal development, personal growth. And, you know, health is just a means to an end, right? It's like, it's not something that you focus all day, every day on your health. It's what is your health allowing you to do in your life? So a lot of times what happens is that we get, you know, in our life, we're just so sort of taken up with just trying to get to baseline, just trying to keep ourselves from sinking in the water and drowning, you know, like we have so much pain in our life and we're trying to overcome so many health conditions and there's so many assaults to our health too that, you know, it's, you know, you spend your whole days just trying to get out of pain. But then really what happens, you know, after that, like what happens when you're out of pain? You know, what are you supposed to be doing in this world? You know, what is it about life that excites you, that gets you pumped up and, you know, gets you out of bed in the morning and all of that? You know, there's so much more to, you know, health. Health is just the default state we're all supposed to be in. But unfortunately, because we abuse our bodies and we live in environments that are so incredibly toxic that we cannot get to that even baseline level to up to zero. We're living in a negative state all the time, -5, negative 10, negative 20, and we can't even get up to zero. But what we're supposed to be, our default state is supposed to be a positive 10 or positive 20, and we're just fighting just to not be in the negative space, trying to get up to zero. But we should be having optimal, abundant levels of health with endless amounts of energy so that we can go live the kind of life we're supposed to live. And that's really what Extreme Health Radio is about, is how do we do that? How do we put into practice these things that we're talking about so that we can have that great default state of health, that energy, in order to go do and pursue our dreams, in order to, perhaps for you, maybe it might be, you know, quitting school or joining a school or, you know, getting rid of your boyfriend or girlfriend or choosing to not associate with friends or family that are negative and disempowering and then choosing something to replace that with, which is going to be something that you're really positive about and really excited about, because that's really what it's about, is how can we all do something that is fun and that is exciting and that helps people. And if we all pursued that, whether it's a vocation or just something we do in our spare time, man, what an incredible world we could have if we all did that. And, you know, that's what Extreme Health Radio is about. It's not about health. It's about what does health buy you in your life. And unfortunately, I think what happens is that we have to focus a lot of time on the health piece, because once you do that, then your mind starts opening, at least for me. I mean, I know that when I started focusing on health, I started realizing, like, wait a second, how come we're not being told about all the stuff that we're talking about on our radio show? How come you hear ads on the radio and on TV, you watch ads for pharmaceutical companies, and they're trying to get people hooked into the field of taking medications their whole life, like Clint was talking about? I mean, why is that? And then you start really opening your mind. And for me, it's like, I love to do things that are a part of, you know, physical. I love to travel. I love to surf. I love to work out and go hiking and spend time outdoors and all that kind of stuff. But I also have an equal intellectual love for and passion for spiritual growth, for personal development, for learning as much as I can and learning what is really going on. What are we doing on this earth? Why are they keeping certain information from us? Why do they want us on drugs? And why are they trying to go after adults now for vaccines? What's the overall agenda? Why are they doing all these things? So for me, that's an intellectual pursuit that is incredibly fun to sort of, with an open mind, pursue, so that we can kind of figure out why we're here and what's the real agenda, and how to look at that information and still be empowered. You know, like a lot of people look at that information and think like, gosh, we're up against the eight ball, right? There's governments in place and there's laws in place and corporations in place that are trying to hold us down. But when I learn about stuff like that, I think, wow, what an incredible time to be alive, because we have the tools these days to be able to spread a message, whatever message we want, whatever disempowering message we want to spread or whatever empowering message we want to spread. It's possible now for just a random person to have a network of millions of people. And so what other time in history is that possible? What other time could we have done this and affect the lives of thousands of people? I mean, the sheer ability for us to go online today and to watch podcasts like this or watch other programs, and not have to watch CBS News and NBC News and CNN and Fox, but we get to watch programs like this or other podcasts that are just doing amazing things. I am all for people starting their own podcast and putting it on YouTube and putting whatever information out, because the way I look at it is, if you put out a podcast like that, it could be about hiking, mountain climbing, could be about anything, makeup, whatever it is. Whoever is watching that is not watching Fox News. They're not watching CNN. They're not getting bombarded with mainstream media. So I'd rather, much rather have someone watching a podcast or listen to a radio show about anything else, you know, mechanics, cars, construction, than watching that stuff. Because that stuff is just, it's designed to disempower you. It's designed to create that hook and that feedback loop where you're always going to seek out a dopamine response from looking at the latest news article and the latest thing to kind of hook your emotion and get you involved into whatever story they're trying to give you. And always that story is going to be one of disempowerment. It's going to be one of you're not good enough, and here's the solution, this disempowering drug that you can take. And so I'm really, really excited about the fact that we can get messages like this out there to people. It's incredible time to be alive. And I encourage all of you listening, start your own podcast, start your own YouTube channel, do something that changes the world for the better. That's what real health is all about, is getting people inspired to take action and to start doing things that are going to help other people and elevate humanity so that we can live in a better world, so that we don't have to be beholden to corporations and governments for everything that we need and want in our life. So that's how we do that. We do that through personal growth, through spiritual development and spiritual practice. That's how we do that, is working on ourselves. Whether that's motivation or meditation or Qigong practice or sitting in the sauna that I referenced earlier, or learning, online learning, you know, whether it's any one of those things, is empowering yourself. If you get on a program of cutting off all media from your life for 1 year, if you just do like a total 1 year transformation program, that means not reading any news articles, right? Not reading the obituaries, not reading disempowering news stories that are going to try to get you hooked into their drama, whatever drama they're trying to get you in. If you cut all that stuff out, then you start working on your friends. You cut all your negative friends out. Your family members, you can't cut them out, but maybe you can spend less time with all the negative people in your life. You start cutting out all these people, coworkers that are disempowering, talking about how, you know, they don't get a raise and XYZ, and they're going to divorce their wife and all their family problems, stuff like that. You start cutting all these people out. Then you start listening to programs like this or podcasts like Clint's. You know, personal development. My personal two favorite personal development people, I love Elliot Hulse. He's cool. I like him a lot. As far as personal development and spiritual growth, I like Bob Proctor. Amazing guy. There's something about him I just connect with, as well as Jim Rohn. Those two guys are the best, in my opinion. But there's so many great people out there. John Assarath, gosh, Tony Robbins, there's Joe Vitale, there's a lot of people doing personal growth and personal development, but you just pick your people, pick some in the health side, pick some in the personal growth side, pick some on starting an online business or starting any kind of business and business development, and start focusing your time on listening to stuff like that. Dude, you do that along with making environmental and lifestyle changes in your health for a year, you're going to be a different person. You're going to start radically changing the very essence of who you are. It is powerful. It is just, it's so powerful. And what I like about it is that as you pursue new things, new rabbit trails begin to present themselves. And then you think, oh, wow, look at this little piece of information. And you go down that rabbit trail, and that leads you for 3 or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 months, maybe years later, pursuing everything that's down that rabbit trail. And then you slowly back yourself out, and then you get to where you were before, and then something else piques your interest. And life becomes this unfolding drama of discovery, of learning new things. And, you know, just the fact that there's people out there like Clint that are helping people overcome rheumatoid arthritis when it's like a $128 billion industry, I think, if my memory is correct. I mean, it's incredible what he's doing and helping people. Because like he was saying in one of his videos, you know, how fast should you recover, right? So he was saying like rheumatoid arthritis is a degenerative chronic disease that gets worse over time, right? So over time, you're getting worse and worse and worse every single day. And he was saying that some people are upset that they're only getting like maybe 1% or 3 or 4% better per month. But if you stretch that out over a year-long thing, that means after a year, you're, you know, 36, 48% better after a year. But then that if you hadn't done that program, not only would you not be 36% better, but you'd also be worse because of the medication. So you'd be, so that gap is even bigger. So even though it's small incremental changes that are happening, you're still over the long term going in the right direction. And that's incredible for a disease like rheumatoid arthritis. So I love that he focuses on the gut. I love that he focuses on the microbiome, which is just a really awesome piece of that component, is to focus on that area. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that show. That was a lot of fun. I like Clint a lot, and hopefully I get to meet him one day in person. He's just a cool guy, helping people. Really genuine, salt of the earth kind of guy. And I like promoting guys like that. You know, he's got a lot to say, obviously, done a lot of research, a lot of study. And I just like promoting people like that. You know, I like spreading the word about good people out there doing great work in the world. And, you know, it's I don't know. It's just rewarding. It's just rewarding. I don't know what I would be doing if I wasn't doing this radio show. I tell you what. But I'm just so glad to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm able to do it through the support of you guys. So if you haven't checked out our store lately, got some really cool products. I'm just such a big fan of these products. I use them all. They're such great products, and I'm showing you guys on the YouTube show a lot about them right now in our store. We got the CBD oils. We've got the Scalar Energy Rest Shield. I have one of those by my bed. We sleep on the Magnetico mattress pad. We got the rapid release. Gosh, I have a story to tell about the rapid release, about my lower back and what that did for my own body. But man, what an awesome thing that rapid release technology is. Got the raw dog food. Love the Barf World. Done some interviews with Robert Mueller, who's the co-founder of Barf World dog food, and we feed that to our pets, as well as laying on the biomat. For those of you that have a biomat, I'm curious if you have had this experience. I lay on that thing, and for the first 20 minutes, for those who don't know what a biomat is, it's a special healing mat that you can lay on that's filled with 30 to 50 pounds of crystal. And the crystals that are inside there are tourmaline, amethyst, and there's a third one, I forget. And so what happens is that it uses far infrared technology, and it infuses the far infrared rays to come through those healing crystals, and it combines those two together to create heat shock proteins in the body. But what's interesting about it is that for the first 20 minutes, I'm just laying there and it just feels good. It feels like a heating mat. But then something happens after 20 minutes of sitting on that thing. I don't know, or laying on it. I don't know what happens, but I get transported somewhere else. It just feels like I have an out-of-body experience. It's really crazy. I'm curious if you guys have a biomed. I'd be curious if you guys have had that same situation. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us on this show and supporting us on our store. Lots of cool products in our store, so thank you guys for that. Also, thank you guys for your support on Amazon. And I don't know if you know this, but if you go to our homepage, you can go to extremehealthradio.com. Let me just go there right now and show you where it is, because if you're watching on the YouTube channel, I can show you there's, if you scroll down on our homepage, you'll see below all the shows a link right there above the social share buttons to Amazon. And if you click on that link to start your purchases on Amazon, every single time that you purchase on Amazon, that helps support the show. So we appreciate that tremendously, and that helps keep the show free, and that's a great way to support us as well as our store. Also, many of you guys are supporting us now on Patreon, and we're looking to increase the amount of people that support us on Patreon. And Patreon's a cool place where you set up an account there, and you can just, it takes like literally about 60 seconds to go to Patreon and put in your credit card. And what happens is that you can support us on a per show basis. So right now we're doing about 2 or 3 shows per week. So that's about, I don't know, 10, 12 shows a month, something like that. But if you want to donate like, you know, $1 a show, but you want to set a cap of like only $5 a month is what I want to send. So once a month, the $5 will come out of your account, or $1, whatever you set the cap for, and that helps support the show. So it's a great way to help support us on a monthly basis. And we appreciate all you guys that support us on Patreon. And what I'll do is I'll put a link there if you guys want to do that. But one of the best ways for you guys to support us is through our academy. But I don't think of this as a way to really support us. This is a way of getting information that is going to help take your health to the next level. Such a big fan of this academy. We just wrapped up a 2-hour Q&A call that we did yesterday that we do every single week. We do that twice a month, and then we do a Q&A call with Dr. John Bergman twice a month, and we're going to start bringing in other practitioners to the academy. So we're going to have this huge database of disease processes and health challenges that you might have, and answers for those. We're going to ask, it's just, I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And what's cool is we do monthly health challenges every single month too. So we give away prizes that only Extreme Health Academy members can win. So if you're an Academy member, you get the option of winning prizes. We've given away a sauna. We've given away a Vitamix blender before. The prizes change every single month. And so if you're an Academy member, you can join and you can win those prizes. And it's just a really awesome, awesome thing. And some of the things that I have up here, this is pretty interesting. If you're listening to the audio podcast, I'll just read a couple of these here for you. Check this out. An average cost of a severe heart attack is $760,000. The average cost of cancer drugs are $10,000 to $30,000 per month. The estimated lifetime cost incurred by an older individual living with a stroke is $100,000. A recent study found that in the last 5 years of life, the cost of a person with dementia, on average, totals more than $287,000. That's in 2010. People with diagnosed diabetes incur average medical expenditures of about $13,000 per year, or about $7,900 is attributed to diabetes directly. Researchers have found that the overall cost of asthma treatment is $18 billion every year, with the average person spending about $3,000 to $7,000 in treatments. Nursing homes can cost up to $227 per day, or $6,900 per month. Whew. So what we're teaching inside the academy is just biohacks and incredible in-depth courses that are there to help you take control of your biology and to help you mitigate the damaging effects of living in EMF-ridden Wi-Fi environments that are designed to rob our health from us. And we need these mitigation strategies. So the Extreme Health Academy is a place where we're offering all of this stuff that we're talking about on Extreme Health Radio, how to do it, how to put it into practice. That's what we're talking about in Extreme Health Academy. And there's an amazing forum. Thousands of members are in there talking and sharing what's working for them. There's a tremendous community. We're releasing live content every single month, courses, quick tips, videos, so much information. So I'm just proud to be a part of it. I mean, I know it was my idea, but I'm just, I feel like it's taken on a life of its own, and I'm just proud to be on the bandwagon, on the path of that. And I just feel honored to be a part of it. But just know that your body's designed to heal, and your body's always trying to find homeostasis. And what Dr. Massey says is that we are perpetually healing. Our body's always healing. Regardless of what label a doctor has given you, you are always healing. Always, always, always. So just remember that and start removing the obstructions in your life that are preventing that healing from happening. So you have to look at every aspect of your life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. What obstructions are there that are preventing my body from healing? Because at some point in your life, you were healthy and happy and fine and had abundant energy. So let's replicate that. Let's get back to whatever that was. So this is where spiritual and personal development and growth and personal spiritual work comes into practice. How to reclaim that level of health for yourself. So that's what Clint's about. That's what we're about. And we love you guys so much. You guys are amazing. I'm just truly honored to be a part of this show and to be here with you guys. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing our show. Thank you for being a part of everything we have going on. If you want to keep up to date with everything, sign up to our newsletter. Go to our website, extremehealthradio.com. Sign up to the newsletter, and you'll be kept up to date with every show that we do. So it's a good way to stay involved and listen to the shows that interest you. And you can just disregard the other shows and come back whenever you feel like there's a show that might help you. So we love you guys. Thanks for patronizing our store. Thanks for your support on Amazon, on Patreon, and lastly, in our academy. Oh, one final thing. If you want to join the academy, I'll put a link down below in this YouTube video with a code for you guys to check it out. It is EHR14. So if you go to extremehealthacademy.com, EHR14 will get you free 14-day trial. So you can look at it, join, become a member, and make friends and dive into all of the content. We have hundreds of hours of cutting-edge content there for you to make use of and to heal. So EHR14 at extremehealthacademy.com will get you 2 weeks for free. So we love you guys. Thank you for joining us. You're amazing. Love you, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment slash cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader slash viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.